In today's episode, I'm answering all the questions that you guys have sent in for today's mailbag episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Like, what do you, I believe is the top five of the Pistons young core? We'll talk about that and all the other questions that you guys sent in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. And today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline. Where the game starts. So I just want to let you guys know, I am recording this at 9:34 p.m. December 29th. I had all day off today. I was planning on recording this podcast early, getting it out early, you know, getting it out my way. But I said, no, I'm going to wait all day. I'm going to wait until we get that tweet from Woj or Shams that tells us how long Killian Hayes and maybe even Hamidou Diallo will be suspended. I knew that as soon as I hit record that we were going to get the news, and it looked really dumb if I published a podcast the same day that the news came out. I didn't talk about the news at all. So I waited all day. We are now at 9:34, and we've gotten no news. The Pistons play, when you guys listen to this, tonight on the 30th. They play against the Chicago Bulls. We haven't gotten nothing. We haven't gotten no news. So I swear to God, if some news drops as soon as this podcast drops, I'm going to be so mad because I've waited literally all day just so I could prep myself and not screw myself over and screw you guys over. I'll have to listen. So I hope please, Woj, or maybe this just means that Killian just won't get suspended. Maybe they're just going to act like it never happened. We're just going to keep moving forward like, you know, nothing ever happened. So, you know, that would be great. You know, don't suspend Mo. Don't suspend Killian or Hamidou Diallo. You know, they got ejected. It is what it is. Move on. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe we're missing something. But anyways, so since I waited all day and what I want to talk about on the podcast was how long Killian suspended, how long Hamidou Diallo was going to be suspended, what's going to happen in their absence, who do you play in their absence, what's the plan, all that kind of stuff. Said that did not happen. I went to the Twitter and asked for you guys to send in some questions for the mailbag because obviously my whole topic was out the window. And you guys sent in some questions. So let's go ahead and get into this. I'm going to answer all of the questions you guys sent in. And this is going to be some fun. So the first question that you guys sent in that I really liked, I wanted to answer, was from Nick Soto on Twitter. He says, rank the Pistons young core, do a top five. And I saw some people already starting to do this over the last few days, really talk about the young core, how they would rank it at this point in the season moving forward. So I guess, you know, I didn't really want to engage in this kind of futuristic stuff this early in the season. But again, like I said, since I had my topic destroyed by M. Silver for not just telling us the news, I guess I'll do it. So number one, obviously no questions asked about it, is Cade Cunningham. Cade Cunningham's missing the rest of the year. It sucks, but that does nothing to change where he stands in this pecking order. He is the face of this franchise. He is the future superstar. He is the main guy of this rebuild. However far he goes, how far the Pistons will go. Everything comes back to Cade. No, everything around him, obviously you need some stuff around him, but everything comes back to Cade Cunningham. He is the guy. The injury this year does nothing to change that. He is the dude. He is him. So number two, though, I think as soon as you get to number two is where you'll start to see some differing opinions amongst everybody. But number two for me is Killian. No, I'm trolling. It's Jalen Duren. Jalen Duren, I'm going to have Jalen Duren number two. Look, he's 18, 19 years old. I had no clue that he would be this good this fast. I don't think anyone could have expected him to be this good this fast as the youngest player in the entire NBA. And he shows off such... He has so much raw talent that he just flashes throughout games. He's already a fantastic offensive rebounder, one of the best offensive rebounders in the entire NBA. He needs to get a little bit better, obviously, as a defensive rebounder when it comes to boxing out and stuff. But he's already a fantastic offensive rebounder. He shows great instincts protecting the rim, knowing when to go vertical, when to go for a block. He's done a great job compared to where he was at the beginning of the year at not jumping at things he shouldn't jump at and knowing when to block and when to just go vertical. Great job with that. He is a really damn good passer for his age, and he's only going to get better as he gets older. He's going to be great out of the short roll. Heck, you may even run him at the high post and run your offense through him, kind of like the Heat do with Bam Adebayo. You might see that, or if you want to even go back a few years, how the Pistons try to do that with Andre Drummond, because he was a nice passer, run their offense through there, run some DHOs, try to hit some back doors and all that kind of stuff. You might see that start to happen with him because he has that type of talent in the passing area, and he flashes every now and then some nice touch on his jumper. Now, I wouldn't put too much stock into him becoming a jump shooter. I could see a future where it happens, but even if he doesn't become that, he's a fantastic offensive rebounder. He's going to be a great rebounder overall, a great passer. He's a really good screener, a fantastic lob threat, tries to dunk everything. This dude, and to think about this, we're 7 years away, 7-8 years away from what will be his prime. In 7-8 years, he'll be 26, 27. We're 7-8 years away, and he's already this good as a rookie. Imagine in damn near a decade. He's number two for me. I think his ceiling is absolutely off the charts, and his floor is pretty damn high too, because if this is what he is already, and he doesn't, let's just say he got even just a tad bit better, and that's all he was, that's still pretty damn valuable. And I don't think that he's going to just stop there. He's going to be really, really, really freaking good. So I got Jalen Duren number two, man. I think his potential is through the roof. Number three, I got Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey has been a little bit inconsistent this year, but you see the flashes for why he was the number five pick, how explosive he is, how much of an athlete he is, how quick he is, how fast he is with the ball in his hands, how electric he can be. He brings some flashiness to the Pistons. And if he can improve that in-between area and improve in his decision-making and improve from beyond the arc, which is all things that will come in time as a young guard, young, extremely explosive and athletic guard like he is, that's something that's just going to come with experience. It's going to take some time. But there's no doubt that you can't deny his potential and where he ranks in the Pistons' young core. He's definitely top three. I don't see how there could really be an argument for him not to be top three based on potential. He has the chance to be really good. I think his floor is a little bit lower than some of the other guys on this list, but his ceiling is just as high, if not higher, than a lot of guys on this list. So Jaden Ivey, I got him at number three. Again, I know he's been a little bit inconsistent this year. He's had some rough games, but that you still have seen the flashes that made him the number five overall pick. And you just got to be patient. Let him get through it. Experience is really going to help him a lot with all the things that he struggles with. So just give him time. I think he'll look really good ending this season. I think he'll look even better next year, obviously. Again, I think everything that he struggles with really is just a lot of it is just experience. Some things that he'll just pick up on the more he gets to play. So, yeah, I got Jaden Ivey number three. Now, this is where, again, you're going to probably get a lot of differing opinions. I had to really think about this at number four. But I'm going to go with Isaiah Stewart at the number four. I think Isaiah Stewart is the fourth best player of the young core. The improvement that he has made this year has been so dramatic that I did not see this coming at all. He's shooting 38% from deep. He's flashing every now and then the ability to take or you know, pump fake and drive, get to the rim. He's showcasing that a little bit, flashing it. I wouldn't say he's good at it yet, but he's flashing that ability every now and then. How quickly and how confident he is in his outside shot. He's been a little bit better than I thought that he would be guarding on the perimeter. Just the overall improvements that he's made as a power forward this year already really impresses me. And that's enough for me to put him at number four right now. There's a guy behind him, though, that I think has a realistic chance at moving his way pretty high up this list. And that's what I'm going to put at number five. I'm going to put Killian Hayes at number five. This is the thing with Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes struggled his first 2 years, but we all saw his archetype. A guy who had defense and playmaking, if you just get his scoring and shooting around, that's an insanely valuable player instantly. And as soon as he started scoring, what was it? Where are we on now? Like a month and a half of him doing this, of him scoring and shooting the ball really well and being super aggressive. All it took was just a month and a half. And I saw a lot of us immediately started saying, oh, that dude might be the best player from the 2020 class instantly. Like, that's how valuable that kind of archetype is. A playmaker with size, a good defender who can shoot the ball and is aggressive scoring in the pick and roll and can really dissect the defense passing-wise. That's just an insanely valuable basketball player. Really valuable. So that's why I have him at number five. I don't have him any higher. I really want, you know, you guys know I'm a Killian guy. But being completely objective, I can't move him any higher because it's only been, what, a month and a half now. Now, if he continues it for the rest of the year, which I think he's going to, as long as he doesn't get suspended for the rest of the year, which, you know, if that happens, I'd lose my stuff. But if he continues it for the rest of the year, then I'd seriously consider him moving him up pretty high, because that kind of archetype, and also the fact that he's only 8 months older than Jay and Ivy, I think he has a realistic chance to really soar up this list of young core members of the Pistons and really start to show people why he was picked seventh. Like, I still believe that's really realistic to happen. Like, I'm pretty, oh, look at this. Look at this. Okay, everyone stop. Stop. Of course, this happens every, you know what? When we come back, I'll tell you guys about the tweet. Of course, at 9:43, we're about to end the first segment. I finally start recording. We get the tweet from Wode that tells us how long Killian Hayes is suspended. I'll tell you guys how long it is when we come back. I'm so frustrated, man. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. Anyways, we'll come back and we'll talk about it. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, actually a message from the NHTSA. You're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks. A few become a few too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you live nearby. You can make it home okay. It's no big deal. What are the odds you'll get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you tow your car, or you kill someone. Everyone knows about the risk of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe and plan ahead to get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Look, guys, I kid you not. Like I told you guys at the beginning, I waited all day for this, all day. And it hit 9:30. I was like, bro, you know what? I can't wait forever. I have to record the podcast. I thought we'd just get the news tomorrow. But then, of course, like I predicted, as soon as I started recording the podcast, we would get the news on Killian Hayes' suspension. And sure enough, we did. So literally, you guys are getting my live reaction. This just literally just happened. I didn't pause the recording. This is not after the fact. This is literally my live reaction here. Okay, let's look what it is. I haven't seen it yet. I just got the notification. You guys are. I have like 20 ads from you guys. You guys got to chill out. All right. Okay, here it is. Adrian Wojnarowski just tweeted, the NBA has suspended Detroit guard Killian Hayes for 3 games. Orlando's Mo Wagner for 2 games for the altercation on Wednesday night. The NBA has also suspended Detroit's Hamidou Diallo for 1 game. And 8 Magic players for 1 game for leaving the bench. Cole Anthony, RJ Hampton, Gary Harris, Kevon Harris, Admiral Schofield, Franz Wagner, Mo Bamba, and Wendell Carter Jr. Okay. I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. All right, so it's not as bad. It's not bad. I think we'll all accept that. There, some people across national media and some people outside Detroit were just taking this way over. I saw people saying he might get 10 to 15 games, might get 20 games. I was like, bro, what are we watching? What did you guys see? They act like this man pulled out a pistol and shot somebody. Like, I was just utterly confused that this was like something that was being discussed. And you guys remember on the last podcast, I said, look, LeBron got 1 game for what he did to Isaiah Stewart last year. Stu got 2 games for going complete WWE. Jokic ended a deuce season, basically, and Markieff Morris only got 1 game. So if Killian got more than 2 games, I was going to riot. He gets 3 games. I can't be too mad at it, because with everything I was hearing across the national media, some of the national shows, and some the way people were reacting, the way people were talking about it, I was starting to get a little bit scared that he was going to get like some severe punishment, like 10 games or something, or possibly miss his Paris game in Chicago in 11, or not in Chicago, against Chicago in Paris in 11 games. I was getting a little bit worried. So I'll take three games. I think that's, again, like I said, I don't think he should have got more than 2 games. I think 2 games for him and Wagner 1 would have been fine. Give him like a fine each. I thought that would have been cool. I thought that would have been the right thing to do. Considering like all the other, you know, suspensions that we've seen in the NBA and the way they've handled those suspensions. I didn't think that this warranted more than two games. Look, I know, like, people just, like I said, people were overreacting to this a lot. Like, look, it wasn't that bad. I'm sorry. It just wasn't that bad, in my opinion, man. He shoved Killian out of bounds. Damn near Steve nasted him. Killian got up, retaliated, and then stopped right there. It wasn't like it was some malice at the palace that lasted like 5 minutes. Fans got involved. It wasn't like some big thing. If anything, the Orlando Magic bench made it bigger than it was. It lasted literally like 10 to 15 seconds, and it stopped. No one kept like trying to swing punches or anything. People weren't out there throwing hands or anything. A dude got pushed out of bounds, could have really got hurt on it. He got up pissed, retaliated. In my opinion, it looked like Killian just wanted to shove him in the back, but missed and hit him in the bottom part of his neck, which, again, that doesn't excuse it. It's bad. That's why he got suspended. But, like, it was really – I don't think that this was really that big of a deal, to be honest. And, I would have been fine with both of them just getting one game. And maybe even Wagner – if you want to say Killian, since he hit him in the back of the head, sure got one game, and then Wagner didn't get one because he didn't, like, take a strike at him, I guess. I would have been cool with that, too. Wagner just getting a fine, and then Killian just getting one game. But, like, this wasn't that big of a deal, man. It just – I really didn't see the freak out over it. Like, I saw people on ESPN and on Fox Sports, I saw people trying to say this was Malice at the Palace Part 2. It lasted 10 to 15 seconds. They didn't even have hands thrown. Were we getting the Malice at the Palace when Brandon Ingram straight up squared up with Chris Paul and socked him in the – like, were we getting the Malice at the Palace stuff then? It's just – I told you guys in the last episode, man, when that happened, just watch how people would talk about it. And since it's Detroit and the stigma that comes with Detroit, you guys know what I'm talking about. And you guys know with the way people think about Detroit and the hidden agendas with it, it was about to get raised out of pocket. People were going to start talking about it crazy. You were about to start seeing some insane stuff. I saw some pretty horrid stuff being said about Killian Hayes and the city of Detroit because of this. Like, it was some bad thing. I've seen way worse than this. Just going back to last year. Like, anyway, that's my live reaction to it, man. I'm happy that he didn't get some big, long suspension. I don't think he should have got more than two. Three is fine, I guess. It's not that bad. But it is what it is, man, I guess. I guess I'll give a reaction to, or my thoughts on what they're going to do without Killian Hayes. Again, this is all, I'm sorry if I feel like all over the place. Again, this is my live reaction. It always happens to me, man. I try to plan ahead. So I apologize for being all over the place. I really do. Okay, well, what are they going to do in his absence? So, I think, obviously, Jane Ivey's going to get the ball in his hands a lot more. He's going to get a chance, I feel, to really try to run the offense in these three games, something I feel like is one of his biggest struggles. And getting more reps at it and getting more experience at it should help him. And I'm interested to see how he handles that game to game to game. I figure that he's probably going to struggle a little bit in the first game tonight against the Bulls and then probably get a little bit better the next game. And then next game after that, he'll look a little bit better. So that's why I'm most interested in seeing how Jane Ivey handles running the team without Killian Hayes on the floor. Diallo's also out one game. So what are they going to do with the Bulls? I think you'll start to see Kevin Knox back in the rotation. I know he was only out the rotation technically one game. But I think this is an opportunity again for Kevin Knox to, say, I shouldn't leave the rotation even when Diallo gets back. I was playing really well for a good month there just because I had one, two bad games. Doesn't mean I should lose my rotational spot. I think you'll see him come in and hopefully he plays well. I think you'll probably see them start Rodney Magruder. That's been something that they've done pretty consistently. When one of the guards are hurt, you never usually see like Sadiq Bey get elevated, or you'll see like the back, like half the time you never saw Killian get elevated to the starting lineup last year. I don't think they'll elevate Alec Burks. I think they'll just go to Rodney Magruder, have him be like a stable veteran presence in it. Try to keep the bench lineup together and not try to ruin that kind of chemistry they got going on. I think that's probably what you'll see, Rodney Magruder in the starting lineup. While Diallo's out and while Killian's out. And I think when Diallo comes back, they may start Diallo at the two. And then run Kevin Knox off the bench, take up his minutes off the bench there. I think that's something you might see there as well. But it'll be interesting. Heck, maybe they go with Corey Joseph. I wouldn't do that because if they start Corey Joseph, that means they're going to let Corey Joseph run the offense instead of Jane Ivey. And I would not like that at all. I think this is a perfect time. It probably is going to lead to some bad losses. But it's something that Jane Ivey needs to get reps in and needs to get some experience in running the offense and running the team, running the half-court offense, knowing how to slow down, chain speeds, all that kind of stuff. So Again, I don't care if it results in wins or losses or if the Pistons get blown up by 20. I don't care what happens. I just want to see Jaden Ivey get those reps. I think this is a perfect time for him to get those during these three games without Killian Hayes. So that's my reaction to it. Again, I do want to seriously apologize to you guys. I know I probably was all over the place, but again, this was just my live reaction to it. I tried to plan for it, guys. I promise. I did. I promise. It's 9:53. I waited all day. I tried. I tried to wait as long as I could. But anyways, when we come back, I'll answer some more of the questions that you guys sent me. I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to answer all the questions you guys sent me simply because of the news that just got dropped while I was recording. I'll answer a few more to wrap the podcast up. I apologize for that. But that will happen when we come back. First, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Rocket Money. If your New Year's goals are to manage your budget better and save money, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people have subscriptions they forgot about, like that streaming service you bought to just watch that one show on, and that free trial you never even use, or like I do all the time, the multiple different gym memberships I had. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you so you can stop paying for the ones that you don't want. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. Simply find the subscription that you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. Again, rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA to stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. You guys are going crazy, man. You guys are literally, I've been added like probably 50 times right now about this Killian Hayes suspension. Anyways, we spent that whole segment though talking about that. No need to go back to that. All right, let's answer some of these questions you guys have. I'm only going to answer like two or three of these, and then we'll wrap the podcast up. All right, so this one's from, I'm going to butcher your name. I'm so sorry. Hashmi Treaky, I think. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. It says, who do you think will be on the lineup after suspensions are dished out? I just answered that question in the last one, so there you go. I got a question answered without even knowing it. All right, next one is, with Bogey likely gone and Cade back, with the play of Killian this year, the change of Stewart's game, the emergence of Duren, the potential of Ivy, along with Bay and Bagley, who starts next year? What's the squad look like in general with the pick two? I couldn't be the GM. Oh yeah, it's going to be some interesting stuff. And Troy Weaver has himself some decisions to make. But like I've been telling you guys, I told you guys this a lot in the offseason. I've told you guys a lot during the season that the objective of this season was to find out who's going to be on this team next year. Who's going to be on this team when we're going to start competing? Whose archetypes can we win with? Who can't we win with? Who's developing? Who's not? Who do we need to move on from? Who do we need to trade? What positions do we need to fill? Et cetera, et cetera. That was the whole purpose of this year, to find that out. Then next year's when it's going to really start to care, really going to start to matter, and decisions will be, what's the word I'm looking for? Will really be looked at with a magnifying glass. It's really going to be important. Each decision will be massively important. So I can't answer the question about who's going to be the starting lineup next year, or, you know, what the pick's going to be, because we don't know what pick they have yet. But what I will say is this. I think the development of Isaiah Stewart could buy him another year as the starting four with Jalen Duren. Obviously, if they get Victor Wembanyama, sorry, Stu, you're just going to have to be off the bench. But they may feel comfortable enough with how Stu has developed this year to give him another year as a starting four. You guys remember I've said that I think his best role is him coming off the bench on a playoff team. I don't know if let me just say this. This is the best way for me to say it. Based off how he's developed this year, I am willing to see another year of him as a starting four to see if he actually can prove me wrong in that department. Before, I thought, okay, no, this is just a year for him to develop. It is what it is. Do whatever you want. But then next year, he's going to the bench. Now, if he continues to play like this the rest of the year, I think Stu has bought himself another year to try to develop and prove that he can be the starting four, not just a rebuilding team, not the worst team in the entire NBA, which the Pistons are right now, but a legit top eight team in the Eastern Conference and a team that can compete for playoff wins, I think he might be earning himself that shot next year. So that's number one with Stu. I think if Killian Hayes, I think the sneaky discussion that I've seen some of you guys tweet at me, but I've avoided it. I'm not going to get into it too much here. I'm just going to bring it up. The sneaky discussion, if Killian Hayes continues to play how he has so far the last month and a half, which by the way, the last 10 games, like I told you guys, this stretch was going to come. The last 10 games, he was averaging 16, 8, and 4. That stretch was coming. I told you guys that last month. It was coming, and it happened. If that's something that he continues to do the rest of the year, the sneaky discussion that's going to get brought up is who starts next to Cade. Because I've told you, we talked about this all last year, that I thought that Killian's archetype was the best archetype to have next to Cade Cunningham. And I would always say, whether it actually is Killian Hayes or a guy has the Killian Hayes archetype, I feel like that archetype is what's best next to Cade. And the way Killian's played so far the last month and a half, that is a guy you want starting next to Cade. But you also have Jane Ivey. So it's like, that's something that Troy Weaver's going to have to answer, I think. It's going to be a tough decision to make. I could see them possibly moving on from Killian Hayes in the offseason because of this. Those two guys, I think, are going to be the two hot topics of the offseason. Do they trust Stu to come back and be the starting forward next year? Do they want to give him another year? Did they see enough from this past year to give him another shot to continue to improve and show that he is the starting forward of the future? And what do they do with Killian Hayes if he continues playing like this the rest of the year? What do they do? Those are the two hot topics, I think. You say the question here says the emergence of Duren. Duren's the starting center of the future. I don't think anything changes there. We kind of talked about Ivy a little bit with that. Sadiq Bey and Marvin Bagley. I don't think Bagley's that much of an important piece. I could see him being replaced and just being used as salary filler in the offseason, if you want me to be honest. I don't think he's that important to the future at all. Sadiq Bey, though, the rest of this year is going to be extremely important for him, because I have serious questions about his future with this team. And I think and we talked about this when the trade rumors got leaked. The fact that those got leaked, the fact that there was trade rumors leaked about the Pistons being not exactly opposed to moving him for the right price. And what I've heard about the price, that makes me believe that the team also is a little bit concerned about what his future is, if he can contribute to winning. He's a wing who's not that athletic, is not very good defensively. And I know he's picked it up in December so far from beyond the arc. I believe he's shooting 39% in December over the last, I believe, 11, 12 games. So he's picked it up from that. But a wing guy who's a little bit undersized, not good defensively, and needs the ball in his hands, but not good enough with the ball in his hands to really warrant taking the touches away from others, is a guy that, you know, it's hard to see where he fits into things, especially in this NBA. If you're a wing, you need to be, you know, really good defensively, be able to spread the floor, be able to do one of those things at an elite level, and be switchable. Like, that's what you see across the NBA. And Sadiq has shown a legit struggle at defense throughout his career. And if his shooting continues to be inconsistent, I think he's another guy they're going to have to make a pretty big decision on in the offseason. I don't know what they're going to do, but he's another guy that I think they're going to have to make a pretty big decision on. So that's where I stand right now with what's going to happen. What do I think about the next offseason? Now I'll answer one more question here. This is the last one I'll answer right here. Sorry, I would have answered all of your guys' questions. I promise I was. I completely was planning on doing it. But again, the news just got dropped on us live, so I'm sorry, I had to adjust. But this one's from Drummer Joe. Says, given the current state of the team, what goals, steps should we be hoping to see from the team during the remaining games of the season for this to be considered a successful development year? Okay, this is going to be I'm going to do rapid fire right here with this answer. Nothing to do with win losses. This is what you should be watching for. Does Killian Hayes continue to play this way? Does Stu continue to play this way and get even better like he's been? Does Jane Ivey show improvement as a lead ball handler and with the ball in his hands in terms of changing speeds, slowing down a little bit, making the right decisions, passing the basketball? Does he improve in that department? Does Sadiq Bey get more consistent from beyond the arc? And can he show us some kind of defensive flashes to show that maybe he can at least be a good team defender? Does Jalen Duren continue to show that he's the best big man on the team? And do the Pistons get better at all throughout the year as a team defensively. Those are the big things I'd watch for the rest of the year to consider, you know, steps and you know, taking the next steps in development. Those are the things I'd watch for. Not wins, losses, but those things right there, the first thing that popped into my mind right there. But that's all I've got for you guys today, man. Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I'm sorry again. I feel really bad. I'm really frustrated. I don't know if you guys could tell, but I'm really frustrated because I literally waited all day to you know, record the podcast about this suspension and lead the podcast off with it. And now I led the podcast off with something else. And now you have to wait to this. Like, I'm quite frustrated. So I'm apologizing for that, guys. I really am. I wanted to open the podcast with this news. So I'm sorry about that. But still, thank you guys for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. Hit that subscribe button to the YouTube channel, Lockdown Pistons. Leave us a 5-star review, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And to the next podcast, man, enjoy the game tonight against the Chicago Bulls without Hamidou Diallo and Killian Hayes. Enjoy the game. Stay safe out there. Go Pistons. And peace out, everybody.